It's the local beat with Dave O'Brien of the Chronicle Telegram, brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And on the hotline, we have Dave O'Brien again from the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, how are we doing today, man?
Doing all right, Rocco. Thank you.
Good to hear, Dave. Good to hear. Wanted to start with a story from you and your colleague over at the CT, Lena Yost. You guys wrote about a double homicide, unfortunately, this past weekend over in Lorain. Now, it seems, again, just kind of from the introduction of that article, it seems city officials are, you know, kind of looking to put an end to this kind of stories that, you know, that we see. So what can you share with us regarding this one?
Well, unfortunately, it was... It was what happened on Saturday about 8:30 when Lorain police officers found 20-year-old Abril Mills and 29-year-old Geronda Edwards dead in a residence on F Street. They're both dead from multiple gunshot wounds. Detectives are investigating, and anybody with information that might be related to that or thinks they know something is asked to call the Lorain Police Department Detective Bureau at 440-204-2105. 2105, those last four, and talk to detectives, and you know, hopefully the police will investigate this fully and find a suspect and maybe make an arrest. But that's the initial incident that took place, and sadly for the Mills and Edwards families. But then at City Council on Monday, Mayor Jack Bradley and City Council, you know, basically talked about, you know, what are we able to do about this? You know, what are we able to do about you know, the increasing amount of gun violence that's happening in Lorain? I mean, there's been you know, dozens of homicides in, you know, in Lorain, Elyria, over the past several years, many involving gun crimes, and basically, you know, cities are restricted in the kind of ordinances or laws that they can pass. Because they can't contradict Ohio's, you know, generally lax gun laws. It's a very gun, you know, very gun friendly state. You know, and Mayor Bradley seemed a bit, according to Lena's reporting, seemed a bit flustered by that. There's talk about this shot spotter technology or gunshot sensors. Shot spotter, I believe, being one of the primary providers for that. Whether or not that was possible to put those up in Lorain. You know, but you can only target them to certain areas, and they can only hear for a certain distance. So it's a difficult situation. I mean, getting you know, guns that are being used in violent crimes off the streets. So the city's talking about it. You know, the police are continuing to investigate. You know, this double homicide. Very sad. You know, both Ms. Mills and Ms. Edwards were mothers of sons. They had roots in the area. You know, they worked in the area. Ms. Edwards, you know, graduated from Elyria High School. Ms. Mills worked at St. John's Hospital. You know, she's a phlebotomist. And it's just really a sad situation. Yeah. that these two murders had to draw, you know, draw attention to this, you know, to this problem that the cities are having. So that's where we stand right now.
Condolences to those families for sure. And, you know, gun violence, kind of like you mentioned there, Dave, always one of the trickier things, I guess you could say, to try and navigate from a governmental or city council standpoint or whoever it may be. So, yeah, good on Mayor Bradley there for kind of trying to take some initiative with that. Another story that I wanted to talk about with you here today comes from your colleague again, Lena Yost. She wrote about Elyria Fire Chief Carl Mack. He was kind of under the scope after the fire union took a vote of no confidence in him quite a while ago, and yet the city has now cleared him. It was late last week, I believe, of any potential wrongdoings. So what are the details to know here?
Well, after about 2 months of investigation, the city found that Fire Chief Carl Mack, who started with the department some time ago, became interim fire chief in 2018, and then fully was chosen, you know, and then sworn in as chief in January of 2019. You know, basically down the line, the International Association of Firefighters Local 474 took a unanimous no confidence vote in Mac, claiming, you know, back in December that he had falsified documents, put the safety of other firefighters at risk, especially in the time of COVID. There were a couple of different events that the union said was documented. They filed 11 grievances in 2020 throughout the entire year. And this two-month investigation with multiple interviews was conducted, exit interviews with the firefighters who were leaving, meetings with an assistant chief, and multiple meetings with the union and with Chief Mack. Basically, the union was disappointed in the end result that the Chief Mack will not face much more discipline other than the city finding that there was a breakdown in a quote breakdown in effective working relationships with Mack and the firefighters in his department. So we'll see where if this goes any further, if things will change. Chief Mack had to participate in some mandatory training and get coached on some management techniques and labor relations and things of that nature. And that'll be made available to all other promoted officers who are interested in taking that training as well. So there will be additional meetings between union representatives and the command staff. They'll be mediated by Safety Service Director Kevin Brubaker. So that's some of the steps the city took to basically figure out what was going on in the fire department. In the meantime, dealing with all the COVID-19 response and everything like that, it's been a tough time.
Yeah, that was an interesting read, again, from Lena Yosta over there at the Chronicle. And, yeah, certainly interesting that the city kind of didn't really find anything in that investigation. We'll certainly keep our eyes on that moving forward to see if anything else does come of that story. Dave O'Brien is our guest here from the Chronicle Telegram on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, what kind of stories can we expect from you and your colleagues at the Chronicle this week?
Well, we're working on that thing that's always kind of looming over us, and that is the weather, and especially these days with snow falling overnight in Elyria and Lorain overnight, Monday to Tuesday, and then more snow expected for Lorain County. Oof. On Thursday, as well. Oof. As maybe a little bit of kind of late Wednesday, but Thursday definitely expect to see some more of the white stuff outside in your front yard or falling outside the window. So we're going to give you some more of that. Also, some reporting by my colleague Jason Hawk about snow days, and he's working on a story about is this with distance learning, with remote learning, is this the end of the snow day as we know it? So that'll be an interesting story. He does. He came up with that with a really interesting concept for that story. So that'll be coming up in the Chronicle real soon.
All right. Well, we'll be sure to keep an eye on that one. It's so, I don't know, I feel like it's cliche to complain and whine about the weather in Ohio when you've been living here your whole life. And I'm only 24, so I know for a fact people have seen much, much more than me in their lifetime. But golly, it never gets any less annoying, right? Having to shovel the driveway and snowplow and do all of that. It's just, ugh. Oh, so frustrating. But I digress. Again, it is what it is. And, living in Ohio, we all know the deal by now. So brings us to my favorite part of the interview here each week. Dave, what do you have for us in the way of a scanner story?
Well, from our friends out west in the Boulder, Colorado Bureau, I'm going to give you two real quick ones that came together 17 minutes apart. First off, from my buddy Mitchell Byers out at the Boulder Boulder camera there, scanner for the win. White male, quote, white male, not fit, unquote. 17 minutes later, update, man possibly wearing, quote, elastic waistband.
Oh, no.
And that is obviously not to shame anybody who's trying to get themselves in shape. We appreciate and support you. But it is kind of funny that within minutes of each other, it's here's the guy who's not fit, who's running around in elastic.
Oh boy. So, yeah. That's, where was that? That was out in Colorado. You said
out in Colorado where I've had family over the past couple of years, and they do things a little bit differently.
Sure. I mean, well, get some layers on. That's my first thought, right? What are we doing? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Dave, thank you for the entertaining scanner stories, multiple this week. Thank you, as always, for the entertainment. Thank you for the insight into what you and your colleagues got going on over there at the Chronicle Telegram. We'll be sure to keep up, again, at the Chronicle Telegram, chronicleT.com. You know where to go by now. Dave, thank you so much for your time this week. Look forward to catching up again next week.
Sounds good, Rocco. Thank you.